Now let's come to the New Testament and see some important scriptures which tell us what it will be like when we're resurrected. What will we look like? How shall we be? And then we'll find out what we're going to do on the sea of glass. Let's come to Matthew 17. Now, Matthew 17 is very important because of this. As we saw, some of the prophets of God, as well as Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, saw the form of God up through the sea of glass. Now then, for Jesus to show the apostles that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament, he had what is called the Transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration. So let's read it, because this tells us what Jesus looks like as a spirit being. And also that there will be a resurrection. Matthew 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and brought them up into a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shined as the sun. Now think about that for a minute, because that's going to happen to us as well. And his garments became white like the light. And there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you desire, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was speaking, a bright cloud suddenly overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I delight. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces in extreme terror, I guess. Then Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, do not be terrified. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Now, as they were descending from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. So they saw what a spirit being, what God looked like. Now, this is expanded a little bit more in Revelation, the first chapter. So let's turn there. And this is what God revealed to John the Apostle. Now this shows Christ in his full glorified form. Now, spirit beings can appear in many different ways. They can appear even as a man. They can appear in brightness. They can appear in their glory. All of those things. So let's pick it up here in verse 10 of Revelation, the first chapter. And I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind me, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write it in a book and send it to the churches that are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. Now, we'll see what these are. But Christ is in the middle of them. And in the middle of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man. So this means that it was like a circle with 7 points for the 7 churches, as we will see. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden breastplate. And his head and his hair were like white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like fine brass, as if they glowed in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he had seven stars, and a sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its full power. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? See, spirit life, inherent spirit life, is completely different from our physical life. Okay? That's quite a thing. Now let's look and see what John saw with the throne of God in chapter 4. And John, being a descendant of the priest, was the only one to ever see in vision God the Father on his throne. Now, we've said seven churches, 7 weeks to the harvest, Pentecost the 50th day. So then this is like the 50th day, like the day of resurrection, when we will be taken up into the air to meet Christ and all the saints and everything, okay? So chapter 4, verse 1. And after these things, I looked, and behold, and the door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was as if a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things that must take place after these things. Now that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because at the time of the end, nothing is going to happen except that it is disclosed and carried out from heaven. Think of that. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one was sitting on the throne, and he who was sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone, a sardius stone, and a rainbow was around the throne like an emerald in its appearance. See, all of these beautiful colors and beautiful precious stones, as it were, that are referred to here. That's quite a thing. So even the spiritual composition of things that spirit beings use, like God the Father, Jesus Christ, the angels, etc., are composed of spirit in their glory. Okay? And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads golden crowns. And proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices and 7 lamps of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God, were burning before the throne. Boy, that's something. Okay? Now notice what we're going to read next. Very similar to what Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 and 2 of the book of Ezekiel. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. Now, can there be more than one sea of glass? Yes. Sea of glass, which was there on Mount Sinai, that is obviously not where God's throne was, but that was there so that those who came up, the 70 of the children of Israel, the elders, and Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and they saw the Lord. Now, after all that was done and everything was finished with what they were doing at Mount Sinai, it was gone. Then, whatever it was that Ezekiel saw after the vision, and he was taken to the place where he was going to witness to the children of Israel, that was gone. Now, there is a permanent place where God's throne is, which we're reading of here, which is the sea of glass, which is like sapphire. Quite something. Then we will see, when we get to chapter 15, another sea of glass to accommodate the resurrection. So let's read on, okay? Now then, talks about the four living creatures. And around the throne and over the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion. We saw that in Ezekiel. Second living creature was like a bull. Likewise, Ezekiel. The third living creature, face of a man, and the fourth living creature, flying eagle. Both of those in Ezekiel. And each of the four living creatures had six wings respectively, and around and within they are full of eyes, and day and night they cease not saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. So that's God the Father and Jesus Christ included in that worship there. Quite a thing indeed. All right? Now, let's come back here to the book of Daniel chapter 12. And let's see a promise that was given by God. Daniel chapter 12. And it talks about the end time. And it talks about the resurrection. Now, it talks about the resurrection to life and the resurrection to condemnation, or that is the lake of fire. Here, it doesn't give us any time frame distinguishing exactly the time between them. But the resurrection of the righteous takes place first, and the resurrection of the wicked takes place, as we know from Revelation 20, last. Now, right here, as we found out, at the end of 2 years, God is going to intervene, and there's going to be the saving of the 144,000 from the children of Israel and a great innumerable multitude. Daniel 12 and verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even till that time. So hold on, folks. It's going to get a whole lot tougher. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. That's Revelation 7. Everyone who shall be found written in the book, because there is a book of life, Hebrews the 12th chapter, and our names are registered there. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, the resurrection, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they who are wise, now notice this. This goes clear back to Genesis 15 and God making the covenant with Abraham and finalizing the covenant again after the sacrifice that was Isaac, but replaced with the ram, talking about the stars of heaven. Now then, when we're resurrected, we're going to see our whole existence will be changed. Boom! And they who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever, eternal life. Now, that's quite a thing. Now, let's see that Jesus verified this. Okay? Let's come to Matthew 13. Now, Matthew 13 talks about the resurrection. It talks about how we get there by growing and overcoming, doing the will of God. Let's pick it up here in verse 41, Matthew 13. So, here's what it said. We know Christ is returning. He said he's coming. He's going to be right on schedule with God's timing, with God's schedule. The resurrection is going to take place. Now, notice what he says there. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the offenders and those who are practicing lawlessness, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears, let him hear. So do you hear? That's what God has said. Okay. Now, let's see something very important concerning the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Now then, when the resurrection takes place, we know it's going to be at the 7th trump. We've read that, covering that on Pentecost, there in Revelation 11. The 7th trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You tie that in, we'll tie that in with 1 Corinthians 15 here in just a minute. But here's what's going to happen at the resurrection. Exactly how all of that's going to work out, God knows. We don't know much about it, but we know it's going to happen because God said it will. Verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those who are in the grave will be resurrected first. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's going to be quite a thing. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. Okay? Now how are we going to get to where the Lord is? Let's come to Matthew 24. Let's see what we have concerning the resurrection. Okay? Matthew 24. All right, let's pick it up here. Verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That second sun would be out there for all that time, until it becomes a sea of glass, okay, as we will see. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, that's the seventh trump, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now then, the angels are going to take us, as we will see, to the sea of glass. Now that's quite a thing. Now when we're resurrected, let's look and see again and add to it the things that will be like when we're spirit being. Now we're told this. Let's look at several. So we have it all, and put it together in such a way that we'll understand it. Let's first of all come to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Now this is also known as the resurrection chapter, and this is quite a chapter indeed. It talks about the resurrection of Christ, that if there's no resurrection of Christ, then there's no eternal life. Okay, so let's pick it up, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. Now, I want you to kind of do this. As to guarantee you're here, you know you're alive, you know you're physical. Now, because you are, and if you're faithful, this is a guarantee that you'll be in the resurrection. All right? Verse 48. As is the one made of the dust, so are also all of those made of the dust, that's us human beings, and as is the heavenly one, Christ, so also shall all of those who are heavenly. Now notice verse 49. Here is the promise. And as we born the image of the one made of dust, we're physical, after Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, be in the grave forever, but we shall all be changed. Now, this is going to be an instantaneous transformation. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All right? Now then, let's look at what we will be like as spirit beings. Okay? Now we have several scriptures to cover. We already covered one of them in Matthew 13, that we will shine like the sun. Let's look at Philippians, the third chapter, and see where we're told even more about this. Okay? This is what we're going to look forward to. And we can be guaranteed because God has planned it. God has prophesied it. He has put it in writing so we can claim it as a promise, which is fantastic to do. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 20, Philippians 3. Now, this talks about the return of Christ and the resurrection in two verses. But for us, the commonwealth of God exists in heaven, and that's the kingdom of God that Christ is bringing to the earth, from where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 21, who will transform our vile bodies that they may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now think about that. Change our bodies to be conformed to his glorious body. Now then, let's see what the Apostle John wrote concerning that. Let's come to 1 John. The third chapter. You know, the word of God is so great, brethren, and these promises are so fantastic that we just need to praise God, thank him for all the glory, all the truth, all the knowledge, all the understanding, because it all comes from God. We don't have anything that we can add to what God has given or going to do. We need to love God, keep his commandments, obey him, obey his voice, and live God's way. Now, here's what to think on. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what glorious love God has given to us. That's all the saints. All that have been, all that exist now, and all that will be in the future, that we should be called the children of God. Now then, we know that when we receive the Holy Spirit, this is the begettal, and it's the begettal from the Father to become a son or daughter of God. and from Jesus Christ to develop the mind of Christ. The transformation or conversion of our minds now, so that at the resurrection, when we receive the spirit body, we will have the character that God wants us to have to use all of that always for good. Now also, this word here means children of God by begettal and birth. And birth is the resurrection from the dead. For this reason, the world does not know it because it did not know him. Beloved, now, because God looks at things now as they will be in the future if we're faithful. Now, we are the children of God. Now, when John wrote this, he didn't know what it was going to be like when we're resurrected. But he understood it after he received the vision of the book of Revelation. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him because we will see him exactly as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now that's quite a thing. Now when we're resurrected, the angels are going to carry us to the sea of glass. Now, specially made for the resurrection. So the sign of the Son of Man that appears as a second sun in heaven, when it comes time for the resurrection, that sun is going to come barreling toward the world at great speed. And then when it gets into the lower atmosphere, it's going to expand out into a massive sea of glass. Now, let's read it here. Revelation 15 and verse 2. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, all of those who come through the Old Testament. And the song of the Lamb, all in the New Testament. Great and awesome are your works. Think about what that's going to be to sing that hymn when we're on the sea of glass and all the saints are there and Christ is there. And I believe that God the Father is going to come down and be there because we are his children. Okay? Don't you think that after all this time that he wants to see all of his children? Yes, indeed. That's going to be a thing. Don't you think we want to see the Father? Yes, indeed. Yes, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, and all nations shall come, that is starting with the millennium, and worship before you, for your righteous judgments have been revealed. Now, what's going to happen when we're on the sea of glass? So let's go through this. There are eight things that are going to happen. Number one, the saints will receive their new name. Revelation 2 and verse 17. You're going to have a signature staff with your new name, whatever that will be. Now then, the Father will know the names of all. Okay? Now, after we receive our new name, and it's going to be interesting what that's going to be like, okay? Okay? Let's come here to the book of Hebrews, and let's see what's going to happen next, because Christ will be there. First thing we're going to do, we are born again from the dead, raised out of the grave, carried up to the sea of glass by the angels. And the first thing we're going to find is our new name. And we will be all assembled together wherever God wants us to be. He's going to have all this organized, and I'm sure all the angels are going to be there. Now, let's also understand something else. Something else has to happen. We all have to be raised from the dead with a new language in our minds so we can communicate to each other. Then we have Christ. Here, picture on the sea of glass, all the saints, Old Testament, New Testament, all of those. And here's Christ up in front. And here's the throne of God the Father coming down to the sea of glass. And here is what he will be saying. Hebrews 2 and verse 13. And again, I will be trusting in him. Now notice this next sentence. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. So there we are. God the Father is going to be there and accept us. And don't you think that's going to be quite a thing? Don't you think that the God the Father, now we'll talk about this a little bit later, but who do you think is going to do the wedding? Undoubtedly the Father. After that, number three, we're going to be given our rewards. Our rewards. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8, Revelation 11 and verse 18, Revelation 22 and verse 12. We have our rewards. Now, the reward is an addition to eternal life. Don't know what that will be. Don't know how it will fill out for all of them, but that's what it will be. Now then, number four, we've got to know, what are we going to do? We'll receive our assignments, okay? Number four, the saints will receive their assignments as kings and priests and whatever other that we have in administrators and those over cities and those over territories, whatever it may be, okay? We will receive our assignments because when we come back to the earth, we got to know what we're going to do, where we're going to go, how are we going to help clean up this earth? And remember, the earth is going to be utterly, utterly, to the surface of the earth, just nearly destroyed everywhere in the world. So we receive our assignments, okay? Number five, the marriage of the Lamb and his bride takes place, Revelation 19. So let's go back to Revelation 19 and let's read it there. That's going to be quite a thing, okay? And you can find a parable of that in Matthew 22 as well. But here, Revelation 19, we find this. Let's pick it up right here. And this is all happening on the sea of glass, Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a loud voice, verse 1, a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Boy, think what that's going to be like. All the saints all together on the sea of glass, Hallelujah. The salvation and glory and honor and the power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he's judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he's avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. And they said a second time, Hallelujah! We're going to see this whole world system completely disintegrated and torn down because it's Satan's world. It is his way. And we're going to bring God's way to all of the poor survivors that come through the Great Tribulation. And what a thing that's going to be. Okay? Heard a second time, Hallelujah! And her smoke shall ascend upward into the ages of eternity. And the 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. So this is something. I mean, this is a great celebration we're going to have up there on the Sea of Glass, conquering Satan, getting rid of this society, all of the saints resurrected together, all of us worshiping and serving and glorifying God, all of us getting ready to come down to the earth to take over and rule the world. Verse 5, and a voice came forth from the throne saying, Praise our God, all his servants and all who fear him, small and great. That's all of us. And I heard a voice like that of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty has reigned. Think of what that's going to be like, brethren, okay? Let us be glad and shout for joy, and let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. So the marriage takes place. Number 6, the marriage supper will take place. Got to have the marriage first, and then the marriage supper. Wonder what that's going to be like. I wonder what it's going to be like to drink spirit wine, eat spirit food. I wonder what kind of music and singing that's going to accompany this marriage supper. Just think of that. That's going to be awesome indeed. We find that right here in Revelation 19 and verse 9. It says, verse 9, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. So that's quite a thing. Now then, one of the last things that's going to take place is number 7. The saints will witness the 7 last plagues poured out. That's the vengeance of God. Now, we'll cover that a little further with another message, okay? And the 7th plague will be the Battle of Armageddon. Now, that's going to be something. Now, number 8, we will all be gathered into God's army and will fight with Christ and will return to the earth with Jesus to establish the kingdom and government of God on this earth. So, the time period from the time of the first resurrection on Pentecost until we come back to the earth will be the time between Pentecost and trumpets. And we will come back to the earth on trumpets, and you are going to be surprised, because just before Feast of Trumpets, I'm going to bring a message on first, the first coming of Christ, and then on trumpets, the second coming of Christ. And you have to ask the question, why will the world fight Christ after all that has taken place? So I hope this helps us understand the great blessing of the first resurrection and what God is doing and how it all fits together and how great the plan of God is, and the promises of God are sure. So, brethren, with the troubles and difficulties in the world, let's focus in on these things and keep our minds on that so that we can constantly look to the blessings and promises of God and the resurrection when Christ returns.